Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
To the Florida Hockey Podcast, Justin Bedford, joined by Noah Russo. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. You know, recording this on Sunday morning, and we got Football Sunday this week, week one. So absolutely fired up for that. Cannot wait for it. As I'm sure, you know, you are too. You're obviously a big Giants fan. How do you think the Giants are going to do this year?
Yeah. They're going to do good.
That's unbelievably unconfidently you said that. Like,
yeah, it's like, who knows how we're going to do. Yeah, that would be one way to put it. Let's say like 8-9.
Ooh, wow.
I'll predict
so
that.
Okay, so you're pretty high on the Giants this year.
Exactly.
All right, you're a believer. I respect it. I mean, I'm a Seahawks fan. Not sure how it's going to go. Probably okay-ish, but tough division, you know. Cardinals getting Watt and, you know, Niners getting Matt Stafford. So it's – not Niners, Rams. But, yeah, should be fun. I'm excited, finally, Football Sunday. Last season, we always did our parlay picks for Football Sunday, which we probably will do again this year. You know, especially, you know, depending on if we have stuff to talk about or not. But week one, though, too tough to make, you know, predictions.
Too tough. We're not big enough football experts to determine any of this.
No, not even remotely close. So we got to watch like a couple weeks here, I think, to figure out who's good and who's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, there could be some teams coming out of nowhere to have good seasons. So we won't do too much about that. But in terms of hockey stuff going on this week, there is still not much. It is still remarkably quiet. Not really many moves being made. The only one I can think of is Panthers legend Eric Gudbranson securing the bag with the Calgary Flames. Making, yeah. Like, what was that?
He's almost making $2 million, right?
Yeah, just a shade under $2 million. What are your thoughts on that signing? Former Panthers player, what are your thoughts? What are the Flames getting here with Eric Gudbranson?
I mean, I guess they're getting like a bottom pairing D. Could also be a seventh D. Like, I don't know. The Flames defense hasn't always been a staple in the NHL. So I guess anything can help type of situation.
Yeah.
But I find it a little confusing that he can go till, what was it, September 11th?
September 10th.
September 10th. He can go all that time and still get a $2 million contract.
Yeah, like, I think it's like insane that, you know, you're signing a guy to be basically your seventh defenseman in September and you gave him $2 million. Seems unnecessary. Seems like too much to pay, especially at this stage of the offseason. Erik Abrahamsson, I'm sure he's like a decent enough guy, but he's not the best at playing hockey. He is, however, 6'5", and you cannot teach 6'5".
You and can't. That's true.
And if there's one thing I could say about the Flames, like offseason as a whole, is they did get bigger and more physical. Did they get better? Maybe, maybe not. But they are definitely bigger. And very on brand, too, though, with like Daryl Sutter as the coach. Like, I'm almost thinking he's the GM at this point with some of the moves they've made this offseason, bringing in Pitlick, Brad Richardson, Zadorov, now Erik Abrahamsson. So they're going to be a physical team for sure. Will they be good? Who knows? But they will be big.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it ends up. Blake Coleman or Barclay Goodrow?
Blake Coleman.
Which one was it? It was Blake Coleman. From he's a good Tampa. Player.
Yeah, good player.
Good player. Bit of a high price on that. But I'm a bit puzzled by the Flames offseason, to be honest. I'm not sure what direction they're going in. But we'll see how it pans out. Like, you never know. But yeah. Definitely puzzling situation for me.
Yeah, I think their season could go off the rails, I think, at some point, just with some of the moves they've made. I don't know how good that team's going to be, but Erik Abrahamsson securing the bag. Love to see it, you know, get paid quite a bit for this stage of the offseason. Good for him. Other than that, though, really not too much going on. I know, you know, teams are, you know, finally open up their development camps. Panthers development camp opened up. I think we talked a couple episodes ago about players we're excited to watch. Now they're all there. And then yesterday, I think there was, interview with Anton Lundell, where he was talking about, you know, obviously Florida, very different than Finland. He was saying he was enjoying going to the beach, and just having, you know, stuff to do basically away from the rink. Right. So there's that. And then, you know, I saw some people on social media kind of like reading into that and questioning maybe this guy's, you know, commitment to the sport or, you know, kind of thinking that maybe he's going to the beach too much, not overly committed. What are your thoughts on the, you know, his comments in his first interview?
I mean, I think people are reading into it way too much.
I mean, yeah, people are like, oh, you know, like he should be watching like film in his spare time. Like that's what all the great players do. And it's like, no, I mean, I don't know. It can be different. Like some people are wired like that, where they're like, you know, always working. They're always trying to get better, right? But then there's other players where, like, you need a break every now and again from whatever it is, you know, whatever your job is. Like, you need a break in order to be the best you can at your job. And then the beaches in Florida are lovely. So, like, that's what I would do, too. Like, I don't know about you. Like, when I'm working, like, my life is mostly, like, hockey, hockey, hockey. Like, I go to work, watch hockey, come home. I'm watching hockey with, you know, my roommates. We go on this podcast, we're talking about hockey. Like, that's everything. You need a break from it every now and again to be the best you can be at it. And I think that, like, you know, Anton Lundell wanting to go to the beach is, like, I have no issue with that.
No, I don't know why people would. It makes no sense for me. But they're always going to find something to complain about. I am sure Anton Lundell spends more than enough time at the rink during rookie camp and is going to during training camp. This is really like the only kind of downtime he gets in Florida.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, if you're doing your downtime, like, I think I'd rather outside at the beach having fun than, you know, just sitting at home alone doing nothing.
Exactly. So, right? I mean, it's like we should appreciate the fact that he's enjoying the area.
Yeah.
I don't get people that are just trying to read between the lines when you just shouldn't. But
I know if I saw some of the comments on it, and for a second I was like, "I'm sorry, like, does this guy play for Toronto? Because that's a very Toronto like fan base thing to do. Run a player out of town just as they get there." Like I was like, let's not do that. Like this, you know, this is like what, 19-year-old kid, 20-year-old kid. Like, let's, mm-hmm. you know, let him go out there, show what he can do. And, you know, hopefully he shows well in camp and cracks the roster and, you know, has a nice rookie year. But yeah, I have no issues with like anything he said. I wasn't sure why people really would, but you know, it is what it is. And we'll kind of see what comes out of development camp, see if there's any players that are going to turn some heads. Obviously still early, but exciting to watch. I was looking at some of the other teams' development camp rosters too, looking around the league. One player I thought was really interesting that was on a development camp roster was Joe Valeno in Detroit. And I was like, the disrespect to Joe Valeno, like he was drafted like 4 years ago in the first round, and they're still inviting him to this.
And he played like, played I want to say most of last season.
Yeah, so I was like, I felt kind of bad for Joe Valeno there, but I was like, the disrespect.
But they were disrespectful to Zadina too. Like,
yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people though are like still waiting for Zadina to fill their nets with pucks, like he said he would.
Exactly.
And so far has not been the case, but still early. Still very, very early.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised his name isn't there. Like, that would have been just on par for Detroit.
Yeah, you have to let the players slowly come through the system, like as slow as possible.
Exactly. It's an interesting model. I mean, we'll see how it goes. And, of course, Jeff Blashill is still running the show there somehow.
Yeah.
Like, I aspire to have the job security that Jeff Blashill has.
Yeah, like, unbelievable. The second longest tenured coach in the NHL. And literally almost nothing to show for it.
He made the playoffs once in his first season.
Yeah, because it was the first season after Babcock left, I believe.
Yeah, like,
unbelievable. But, you know, he must be doing something, right? Not sure what it is, but it must be something. Because he's still there. Also, one other thing I want to talk about on this episode, I'm not sure if you saw it, but The Athletic put out their list of their top like 32 players under 23 years old in the NHL, or like that are affiliated with NHL teams. No Anton Lundell on the list, and Spencer Knight at 32.
Yeah, I saw they made the the ranking. I didn't read it at all. Who is first by curiosity? I don't know if McDavid's still under 23.
He's not.
Then Matthews.
I'm not sure if he is either.
Like, it must have been in that ballpark type of thing.
Yeah, it was like obviously, like, I'm not trying to make a case that like Spencer Knight or like Anton Lundell are the best players under 23. Right, because that would be ridiculous. There's some unbelievable players. Like, I know Lafreniere was pretty high, Moritz Seider, Quentin Byfield. Like, I get that. Those are higher picks. They're players who projectably have, like, very high ceilings.
Yeah.
Right? So I understand that those guys are going to be at the top of the list. But 32 for Spencer Knight just seems way too low. And the fact that Anton Lundell, not even there, also to me, just seems a bit ridiculous because it's Anton Lundell.
Exactly.
Like,
I completely agree. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that he's just like never played in North America.
Like, it could be like, there are a number of different things. It could be, I got the list here, by the way, I pulled it up. Okay, so cool. Yeah, Spencer Knight, 32. Number one was Kale Makar, Svechnikov, Elias Pettersson, Dahlin, Hughes, Lafreniere, Stutzla, Kachuk, Power, Jack Hughes, Heiskanen, Zegras. And the list goes on. But to me, like, here's the thing. Like, first of all, Anton Lundell, I get that he's not the flashiest player, right? And people question his offense, despite the fact that he continuously puts up offense at every level he ever plays. And he plays against men. He plays in the World Juniors. Everywhere he goes, he puts up points. So the belief that he's not an offensive guy just doesn't seem to hold any merit. And his two-way game is excellent. So to me, I would for sure, like, maybe not super high on their, you know, U23 ranking, because there are some very, very good players, but he should be in there absolutely. in my mind.
Yeah.
And then Spencer Knight at 32. Like, the thing for me is that, let's say you're basing this on like what they are, what their ceiling, like U23, I think you're basing it on what their ceiling is, right? Not so much what they are, right? Because exactly. Otherwise this list would be horrendously out of order. Like, you have Rasmus Dahlin ahead of Quinn Hughes. Like, that'd be absurd. So you're basing it on potential. So let's say, like, you have a player, like, let's say Tim Stützle, right? Who is the 7th ranked player. He's a left winger. Best case scenario, he's, you know, probably a top line left winger, right?
Yeah.
Spencer Knight, best case scenario, is he's, you know, a very, very elite goalie for a long time, right? And everything about where he was drafted and the way he's performed at every level since being drafted would say that, yeah, this guy is going to be a very, very good goalie in this league. A number one goalie, potentially an elite goalie, potentially a franchise goalie. If that's the case, I would think that, like, having a goalie of that caliber is a lot more valuable to a team than having a top line left winger.
Yeah. I'm just seeing names and I'm like, I can't help but disagree. And I definitely think Anton Liddell is like better than Arthur Kaliev.
Yeah. Like,
Arthur has a bigger upside.
I think there's a bigger upside than several players here. And yeah, like, I just don't know how you can, like, there's a couple other players, like, from other teams, like a couple prospects I would say are like omitted and should be in there. But to me, Anton Liddell should be in there based on everything he's done so far in his career. And especially with the opportunity, you know, there is in Florida right now to play with some pretty good players, to play on a very good team. So to me, yeah, I was just like perplexed by this. I will agree though, that like, I absolutely do agree. Cale Makar is the best U23 player in the world.
Yeah. I think you have to agree with,
like,
that.
They nailed that. And then from there you get like, I'm not a big Dylan Cousins guy either. Like, Dylan Cousins is in there. Like,
yeah,
he'll be fine. But best case scenario for Dylan Cousins, I don't think is anywhere close to the best case scenario for Spencer Knight. Like, I would take Spencer Knight on my team any day of the week over Dylan Cousins. No disrespect, but like, it's Spencer Knight.
And I think Dahlin's like definitely high on there.
Yeah, I think like Dahlin's a really interesting one because, like, obviously number one pick, very highly touted. He's ranked 4th on this list. Like, they're like, the praise is there, but he hasn't been good in Buffalo. How much of that is him not being a good defenseman, and how much of it is Buffalo just sucks? Like,
exactly.
Like, if he was anywhere else, he's probably a better player.
Exactly. I was having a debate at work. I think it was last week. Is Jack Eichel a top 10 center in the NHL? And we ended up saying Jack Eichel is a top 15 center in the NHL because he plays on Buffalo. I think it would be unanimous top 10 if his career was anywhere else than Buffalo.
I still think he's a top 10 center, even in Buffalo.
It's tough. We were listing off all the other centers in the league, and it's, he ends up like, it's, he's borderline top 10 if you like him a lot.
Yeah, like, no, like, I like Jack Eichel the player. Like, he's very, very skilled and talented. If someone were to tell me like he's not a top 10 center, I would like understand that. I personally think he is. But he is just on that like fringe. Like, if this was a couple years ago, I would say he's, yeah, probably closer to top 10, maybe even close to top 5.
Yeah.
But like, as of right now, like, and the reality is there's also just like a lot of very good centers in the NHL. Like, I think like McDavid, Barkov, Draisaitl, Matthews, Braden Point, I'd have ahead of him. Like,
you probably have Crosby ahead. I mean, Malkin, maybe.
I still have Crosby. I don't think I'd have Malkin ahead.
No.
Just because, like, he's really falling off, I think. It'd be close between him and Pettersson, I think.
I think I would take Eichel over Pettersson.
I think I would, too.
I'll pull it up. We can do it together. So, we said Point was better. Then yeah. You have the I think Eichel's better than Scheifele.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think Eichel's better than Tyler Seguin.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. Would you rather have Jack Eichel or Matt Barzal?
Well, see, that's like a really interesting one. I think I'm still going. Ooh, it's really tough. Exactly. Like, what system am I playing? Because, like, both are really good off the rush, both very different players. I think I'd go Eichel, but it'd be very close.
Yeah, I think I would kind of side with the Barzal, but very, very debatable.
Yeah.
And then we said McDavid and Draisaitl, obviously.
Yeah.
Aho or Eichel?
Ooh. I think I'm going Eichel. It's close.
Yeah.
Like, what's the thing? It's like he's like in that tier where like you could organize him any way you want and he'd be in the top 10 or he'd be outside. Like, but he's in that mix of like an Aho, I think a Pettersson, a Scheifele, Leafs.
I think there's a clear like bound. I think Shifley's a lower tier.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm not like a huge Mark Scheifele guy.
Yeah.
Right. Leafs fans would probably have Tavares in there.
Which I think would be ridiculous, but we would definitely have Barkov in there over Eichel.
Oh, absolutely. Would you have Sam Bennett in the mix? No, I know the sample size is small, but who had more points second half of last season?
Definitely Sam Bennett. And that's just the reality. And he's just better.
Is that recency bias? No, not at all. But yeah, no, it's an interesting conversation. Like it's really close.
There's some really good centers in the league. It's going to be interesting to see how this situation is dealt with. I really don't know what's going to happen in that situation. Like, I don't know. I don't think he gets traded before training camp.
I just don't know why, like, they won't trade him.
Like, the player is clearly unhappy.
Yeah, he's clearly unhappy. Like, he wants the surgery. Like, he's just, like, I'd be so, like, mad if I was him. Like, he's changed his representation. Like, it's a really tough situation that will, you know, we don't know how it's going to shake out. I think he will be dealt. Like, I think he's, like, I think regardless of when he gets dealt, he's definitely played his last game in a Sabres jersey.
Yeah. It's tough. Like, they obviously don't want to trade him. There's obviously not the return they want on the market right now.
Yeah. But, like, the reality is, too, like, they have no one else really to blame but themselves. Like, you had a very, very good player, a borderline top 10 center, who signed and committed to your team for long term, right? He signed for 8 years. And you have managed to basically ruin that relationship between the player and the team over several years. I'm sure not winning a lot of games also contributes to that, but like, you really don't have anyone to blame but yourselves.
Exactly. And at this point, $10 million for Jack Eichel is probably an underpay.
Probably. But that's the thing too. It's not a bad contract.
Exactly.
Like, it's not like
an if you're Buffalo, you really screwed up big time.
Now, I was looking at Buffalo's depth chart this week, and I took a sneak peek, and I saw that their goaltending is a little shaky.
I mean, it's arguable that it's not great.
Right, and Jack Eichel makes a lot of money, so it's hard for teams to take on that salary without, you know, you have to take some salary back if you're Buffalo.
Yeah, I think that's
Sergei Bobrovsky for Jack Eichel.
One for one.
The money works. Panthers save a little bit of money. Oh. Throw in Marcus Nudavara as a sweetener. Throw in Frank Vetrano as a sweetener. And then all the first round picks. Just throw them in there. Doesn't matter. Every first round pick in the future.
That would be interesting. I really don't think Buffalo would do. Like,
they would absolutely never do that.
But in a situation where, like, I don't think, even if the package is good, like on paper is good enough, I don't think anybody would take on Bobrovsky's contract.
No. It's an impossible deal to move.
You like, even if the trade makes sense, even if it's like it's pretty much the same superstar X factor going on each team, the contract is just so bad.
Unless it is Jeff Skinner coming the other way.
See, now that could...
That intrigues me. I still like Jeff Skinner.
That's interesting.
I know. Oh, my goodness.
He definitely has a no movement clause.
Yeah, but Jeff Skinner, it's like, hey, do you want to come down to Florida, hang out at the beach with Anton Lindell, play on the third line, score 40 a year again?
Yeah, he fully has a no movement clause, whereas what's Eichel's? Yeah, Eichel has no
trade protection.
No clauses.
Well, at this point, like, I think, yeah, you'd just be fine.
I mean, at this point, you would have waived them all, right?
Yeah, just send me somewhere. Maybe not, like, Ottawa, but, like, send me somewhere.
Yeah. I can't even imagine bouncing between, like, Buffalo, Ottawa, Winnipeg. At least Winnipeg is a good team, you know?
A decent team. Well, their defense looks much better this year.
Yeah, talk about a team who upgraded defense big time.
Talk about a team that had a need and addressed it.
Big time.
Yeah. So, also, unrelated, doesn't really relate at all to Panthers. So many RFAs still unsigned right now.
So many. I am
like
baffled. What is happening in Vancouver? They've got all the numbers guys just like crunching every single possible scenario.
Yeah. Well, the entire offseason was, let's clear out some money so we can sign these guys. Then let's spend the money we cleared out to sign these guys. And then let's not sign these guys.
Like, I am baffled at the Canucks situation.
Because, like, it's one thing. Like, there's a lot of guys that aren't signed. Like, Brady Tkachuk's not signed. Kirill Kaprizov's not signed. Right? Those are big name, like, those are big name RFAs that are not signed. Right? But Vancouver has two. Like, if you have one, it's like, okay, like, it's not great, but, like, you know, you'll find some room, right? But to have two of, you know, the best RFAs right now unsigned is not great for the Vancouver Canucks.
It's not. And I think they may have up to $13 million with LTIR.
It's not enough.
If Michael Ferland goes on there.
Which he probably will.
Yeah, he probably will.
I'm pretty sure he's done, unfortunately.
Like, if this could have happened next offseason, they would have been okay. They're still paying Roberto Luongo.
Yes, they are. Legend.
That ends after this season. They have Braden Holtby and Jake Virtanen buyouts, which are only $1 million together. Like, it's not too bad. But next year, it's 2.4.
Yeah.
Sorry. Actually, this year is $500,000. It's just a really interesting situation that...
Their cap situation is just such a clusterfuck. Like, it really is.
Yeah. Jim Benning's got them into some pretty, pretty deep water. And it's... They're looking awfully close to drowning.
Yeah, but the good news is that help is on the way this offseason in the form of Tucker Poolman. So don't worry, Canucks fans. You're going to be just fine. No Quinn Hughes or Elias Pettersson signed, but Tucker Poolman and Oliver Ekman-Larsson are there to save the day. But yeah, like, something's got to give. Like, at some point, somebody's got to sign.
Yeah, and then, like, next year, you've got to deal with Brock Besser.
Oh, goodness.
Who's going to have arbitration rights?
And then, like, yeah, it's not great. And then after that, it's Nils Höglander. And then after that, it's Vasily Podkolzin. And then after that, you probably just have to, like, file for bankruptcy. Like, it's not great.
I'm not, like, they have the money to pay their guys. They just don't have the space.
Yeah, yeah, like, money's not an issue. But, like, their cap space is just a nightmare. And then they, like, kind of fixed it a little bit. They got, like, they created the short-term issue by bringing an OEL, get rid of all those contracts that only
I actually one really like that OEL. Like, I don't mind him. I know it's a long contract and he's getting paid a decent amount, but He does have upside.
Yeah.
The problem is you don't do it when you have to sign Hughes and Pettersson in the offseason and you're already against the cap.
Yeah, like, I don't know why you wouldn't have just, like, taken another year and, like, waited till, like, you had, like, Louis Erickson and, like, all the other guys off the books, right? And then, like instead of now, you just have your $8 million to OEL for the foreseeable future, right? It makes no sense to me. But I do like Connor Garland a lot. I like that addition for the Canucks.
Yeah, and it's probably a good price point for how much he's going to produce.
Yeah.
Like, it certainly makes sense. You know, he's going to play with better players, I think, this year than he did in Arizona. So, definitely good. And he fits kind of that culture in Vancouver, I think. But yeah.
I don't know.
You probably shouldn't be doing that if you have, like, I like it independently when you think about the fact that you also have to pay Pettersson and Hughes. It doesn't make a lot of sense anymore.
Yeah, it's it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Shocked, frankly, we haven't heard any rumors about an offer sheet on Pettersson.
Oh, I would offer sheet him in a heartbeat. Like, if I'm Seattle, that is, like, right money.
Yeah. Like, what better way to steal a rivalry, to start than a rivalry, than steal, to their steal best, like, their best player?
Yeah, like so far we've seen one offer sheet, and it's Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Like, that doesn't excite me. Like, oh, congrats. Like, guy's getting overpaid. Fantastic. Good for him. But, like, no, I want to see, like, a big-name player get offer sheeted. Like, let's get going on it.
Exactly.
Like, let's start throwing them around. Let's
get a Shea Weber size offer sheet again.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Like, something that actually, you know, makes something happen. Like, let's go.
Like, very, very strange, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think.
It's all over the place. All right, but my last question here before we sign off for this week's episode. Of all the RFAs left, there are 14. Well, 15, 16. But, like, not big names. Who do you think is the first player to sign? We got Kaprizov, Pettersson, Tkachuk, Dahlin, Hughes, Anatoly Golishev, Kyler Yamamoto, Robert Thomas, Kiefer Bellows, Nolan Patrick, Logan Brown, Otto Koivula, Noah Gregor, Dylan Coughlin, Giovanni Smith, and Zach Sinishin. Who's signing next?
Okay, I'm going to go Brady Tkachuk in Ottawa.
Jacob Barker, our close personal friend and cap expert, will absolutely love that answer.
He's been asking for it, and I think it's going to happen. Like, I don't know what's happening there, though. I don't know what the player wants, if he wants a bridge or if he wants long-term, and I assume the team would, I don't know what the team would go.
The thing with Brady Tkachuk, one, is there absolutely no reason, like, that it, like, should have taken this long. Like, they have, like, infinite cap space. Like, on the other teams, like, with the Canucks, like, cap space is an issue, right? Like, fitting guys under the cap, it's an issue. With Brady Tkachuk, there is no barrier there. It's just, how much does Eugene Melnyk want to spend?
Yeah, it's puzzling.
Yeah, so that one to me, like, I think Brady Tkachuk's, like, a very good player and a potential future captain for that team. The fact that he is unsigned right now is, like, to me, it's just absurd because you have, like, the cap room. Like, you actually, like, need to spend cap money right now. Sign the guy.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a team who has $24 million in cap space.
Yeah.
Like, the perfect scenario for me for his contract would be an 8x8, the same thing they gave to Shabbat. But Tkachuk is most likely worth more than that.
Well, I think, like, it's tough because I think he's probably worth an 8x8. Like, I think that's very fair value. The issue is that, like, I think Thomas Shabbat is a bit of an overpay, right? It'd be hard to pay him less than Shabbat.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, the only way you can pay him less is if you offer him a bridge deal, right?
Yeah, but even like why would you offer him a bridge deal? Walk the guy out. And I know for Brady, it's like he wants to make sure that like Ottawa is actually going to be committed to contending. But like that's probably a factor for him if he wants to commit long term. Like he wants to make sure they're going to actually spend money. Right, which makes sense because if you're a player, you want to win. And if the team's not committed to winning, why would you spend your entire career there?
Yeah, it's curious because they did get Batherson on what I think is an excellent deal.
Yeah, I think Batherson's like, I don't think it's like, I don't know, it's underpaid and overpaid. I think it's just fair value, good for team and player. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really high reward type of contract.
I don't see really any risk with it. So I like that one. So like, yeah, just do the same thing. Give Brady a nice fair deal and like everyone's happy. I'll pick the big fish. I'll go with Kirill Kaprizov for the next player to sign. I'm going to say
in the NHL. Okay.
To clarify for
just listeners, making sure
Kirill Kaprizov, he'll be the next player to sign in the National Hockey League. I'm going to say it's with the Minnesota Wild. And I'm going to say that he signed a 5-year deal at $9,097,000 contract.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
throwing the number in there.
You have to throw in, right? So I wasn't going to give him a 9.97 or a 9.7 because I don't think Minnesota wants to go there, and I probably wouldn't either. So we'll sneak in 9.7 in there somewhere because, you know, I've got to represent for Kirill.
Yeah.
And players love that.
We'll see. Really, they just got to be careful because of next year, right?
Yeah.
Next year is when the big money for Suter and Parise start kicking in.
To be clear, like I don't think that's a great deal for the Wild because you're not getting really too much term and you're paying them quite a bit, especially on a guy coming off 1 year of performing. But that's what I think it comes to.
But you really don't have a choice.
Yeah. Also, my dark horse pick though, Logan Brown from the Ottawa Senators. Get him signed.
I can very much see that. I can also see Robbie Thomas in St. Louis.
Yeah. There's a couple of interesting ones. Like Rasmus Dahlin to me is like the most fascinating one because it's a first overall pick who like very clearly is very skilled but has looked absolutely terrible like the entire time. What is that guy worth? Like that just, for me, that screams bridge deal. But like I don't know what's going on there. Buffalo's got a lot on their plate right now.
So much on their plate.
But we'll see. Maybe my next episode, someone will have signed.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, we always say hopefully, it never happens.
Yeah.
The good news though is that none of these players play for the Panthers.
Panthers got it
locked down early. No issues. They're ready to absolutely go nuts this year, ball out. So we're looking forward to that. Looking forward to watching some of the development camp, and every episode we get closer to the start of the season. Very exciting. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that does it for this one. Thank you to everyone listening, tuning in. We are going to be back on Thursday, the brand new episode where we talk something Panthers related or something hockey related. Who knows? Too early to tell. We'll figure it out then. But yeah, thank you for tuning in, listening, and we will see you all then.